And we started out the first session by passing out these cute little notebooks. And I called it a 30-day journaling challenge. And there was a list of 30 days worth of verses. And the first thing that we talked about was how to verbalize and meditate on the word. So that was the first session. And then last week we talked about asking questions and putting verses through their paces. So we had an acronym of PACES, and we broke up into workshops, and we're working on, last week we were working on Deuteronomy 30:14, about how the word is near to you in your heart. And this week we're going to talk a little bit more, and I have a completely different set of questions for you. So we are going to be looking into two different passages. One, I will just share with you how this works and how to go through these questions. And then we'll do it together as a group in a discussion. So you have to pay attention to what I'm talking the first time so you get anyway, you get the idea. I asked Shelley to just share what this has kind of meant to her, and so I asked her if she'd just briefly talk about some things.
Well, I wanted to just put out there that as I've been doing this, and I have to be honest, I have not been doing it every day. The
answer that's
okay.
Yes, it's okay.
It's okay. But when the days that I do it, what touches my heart the most, I think, is how when you look at a verse and you read the context and you put the verse through its paces, how it just kind of ignites something in you. It's how, it's got to be God working in my heart to want to know more. It just ignites that desire to learn more and to dig deeper and to see what the word really is trying to communicate to us as we take the time. Because let's face it, it takes time to do this, and we're all busy, and we all have a million things we have to do in a day. But I just thought that last week was super beneficial because when we broke up into groups, and we could work the word together in a small group, it was great to see how God was working, not just in your own heart, but how God's working in another believer's heart, and how God touches that other believer's heart, and then they're sharing that back with you, and you're sharing how God touched your heart with them, and somehow during all of that, you are growing closer and tighter together. You're strengthening your relationship with each other. But it was just that igniting thing, I think, that is really what I wanted to share about, how that God will, as you're looking at his word and as you're thinking about it and meditating on it, God will ignite something in you. And whether that's to know, you know, whether that's ignite that desire to know more, whether that's ignite a desire to give more, whether that, however God works in you, because he works in all of us differently. It's exciting to see that ignition that comes into your heart. Once you just start getting into the Word, just simply getting into the Word. Getting into the Word, yeah. That's all.
Yay, thank you. I've been really blessed to hear the response from various people, and like Shelley said, you know, maybe you did not do it every single day, but there's no rules in this. When we called it the devotional Bible study method, it means that it's just devotion, and it's God working in you, and so. The same thing with this idea about questions. There's no wrong questions. You could just read the verse yourself and just say,
God, I don't get this. What is this verse about? Or it might be a familiar verse, like when I got to Matthew 11:28, and it's a verse that's really dear to me. It was still so refreshing to see a little bit different angle of it than I had before. And that's what's so awesome about the Word of God, is that you can't exhaust it. There are always more treasures to mine out of it and to see something different. And that's why I thought what Shelley was saying was so great, is that it's God working in us to teach us what we need to know right this moment. God is a God of the now. He's not interested in, you know, all of the things that we have going on up until that point we sat down. He knows what they are, and he knows the things that are on our hearts, and he knows the burdens we're carrying. And he meets us right there at that point. It's never fails. And that's why, I guess for me, it just led me into a lifetime of Bible study. You know, this kind of Bible study I've done for years and years. And the things that always I want to do is I want to go look up what the word means and where is it used before and all this other stuff. So it's been kind of a challenge for me to make this really simple. But I found this set of questions, and we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, 17 and 18. And we're going to go through these questions, and you will see that by asking these particular questions, what it does is it gets you to the place where you want to know more, and you want to ask God, what do you have for me to learn about this for me right now? And so the goal today, last week's goal was to learn how to apply the word. The goal this week is to learn how to personalize the word. So I think we need to read the whole context also first. I'm going to read verse 18, and then we'll read the whole context too. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the next verse. Okay, would someone like to stand and read like 16 to 22? Because the very first question here is, who is the author talking to and why? Okay, Deanne. All right.
Hey, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 22.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness him, let all bear him witness, and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?
This very first question is about setting the scene. You know, who is, what is happening? And what is going on? This is at right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he had had some miracles happen already in the city of Capernaum, but this is the first time that he has come back to Nazareth, his hometown. And I wanted to show you a picture of a synagogue and what it, kind of the setting of what it might have looked like for him to have been in the synagogue. With the people in the town coming, this is something that they did every Saturday, and they sat together in kind of a semicircle, and there were benches all around. Oh dear, okay. Anyway, when I was in Magdala in Israel, there was this synagogue that was from the first century, and it was probably where Jesus had taught. And you come in from the back, okay, and then there were benches all around, like in a U-shaped. And whoever was to do the reading that day would stand to do the reading, which is what he did. He opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. And then it says he closed the scroll and he sat down. So he sat on the middle of that seat, but then there would be people that were all around him on either side, and they were staring at him like, this guy, we know him, he grew up here, you know, what's he going to say? And he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they were going, wow, what is he talking about? And he proceeds to explain probably why it was this fulfillment of Isaiah 61. So we have the scene, right? So who is it talking to? Who is he talking to?
Israel.
Yeah, Israel, but also specifically to the people of Nazareth. Those he grew up with. So just keep that in mind, okay? Oh, there it is. See? See the box in the middle there? That's where they kept the scroll. And then he would be standing right behind that box there. And then here's where all the people would be sitting all around him. So they would all be, and then he would sat down right there and started talking about Isaiah. It's cool to get a visual picture in your mind of this is the setting for this verse. So that's really what the first question is about. Who is it talking to? Obviously Israel, but specifically the people who lived in Nazareth right then and right there. Okay, the second question is, what's the larger passage talking about, looking at the verses before and after? Because, you know, even though we had in this Bible challenge, we had one verse for every day, what we found very early on was that we needed to read the context and read all the verses around it, because otherwise you don't know how to set the verse. And that's why we read the context. So we've actually done number two. But when you answer the question, then what you say is like, what is the larger passage talking about? Okay, it's talking about how the Messiah would come, and this is what he would do. And then you can also go on and say, okay, it's what he did.
Yeah.
Right? So it's been accomplished already. And it's also what we are supposed to do. We have Christ in us, right? Everything Christ accomplished for us was so that we would have the same power, like in Katie's manifestation. We need to use the power that we've been given. So the purpose of reading this and studying it is to get to there. Okay, so number three is, what type of writing is this? Okay, in the Gospels, you would call it a narrative because it's the story. It's like a history. And a lot of the historical books are narrative also. But whereas a psalm is more of a poem or a song, the epistles are letters. So it's important to know what the type of writing is. This is a gospel. It's in the Gospels, as well as Isaiah is a prophecy book. It's a prophet. So you have Isaiah being the prophecy of what was going to come, and then you have the Gospels, which is the narrative about how it came to pass that Jesus was saying this, right? Okay. Now, number four, I think, is the most important one. And this is what I wanted to concentrate on just a little bit, is what words are important. And we've done a little bit of this when we wrote down the phrases and then emphasized each one separately. But when you get all done doing that and you put the verse through its paces, then you still have to go back to it and say, now, really, what is the most important? What are the most important words here? So you go, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to, and then there's several phrases, right? To preach, he was sent to heal. So I thought that the most important word in here was about how he was anointed, because the word Christ means anointed. He was anointed by God to do this. And he did do it in his ministry on the earth. He did these things. He healed people. He set people free. He bound up the brokenhearted. You know, there were all kinds of things that he did in his earthly ministry. But remember last week when we were talking about the timeless truth? What is the timeless truth that's in this passage? If you emphasize that word anointed, then you get to the timeless truth, which is that Christ has accomplished this for us and that this is our ministry as well. And then the last question is, where does the Bible else talk about this? Which we already figured out was Isaiah 61:1. And if you take a look at Isaiah 61:1-2, you'll see the first four phrases. You'll see the ones about preach the good tidings to the meek, bind up the brokenhearted, which includes every kind of healing. The third phrase is to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the fourth one is the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke says the recovery of sight to the blind. And that's where the Old Testament and the New, you have to sit and compare them. So I actually wrote out a little chart, because this has a lot of phrases in it. And I put what Isaiah had and what Luke had, and then I lined them up to see the differences. And come to find out, if you go back to Isaiah, can you go back to Isaiah? Okay, all right. In Luke 4:18, the last phrase is recovering of sight to the blind, right? That phrase, that's the fourth one. And then the last one is to set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay, so there's actually five phrases in Luke. There's only four in Isaiah 61. So this is a really cool example of taking another passage in the Old Testament, and Jesus added the last phrase when he stood up and he explained it. And he said, I also am going to let all the oppressed go free. And that is a quotation from Isaiah 58:6. Where it's, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to let the oppressed go free? So he takes four phrases from Isaiah 61:1, and then he adds another phrase at the end, because the whole purpose of his ministry was to go from preaching the gospel to setting people free. It's a process. First, you get the gospel preached to you, then you get healing going. Then your eyes are open, and then it yields being set free. And it's set free to tell somebody else. Gosh, look at what God did for me! So, by looking at the Old Testament passage, it just really enlightens our understanding of that whole topic. There's a teaching I did a long time ago called The Ministry of Healing. It's on the website. And it's going through the comparison of Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 and Luke 4, 18. But it's also showing how this is our ministry. This is what we can do every time we work with anybody on healing or for ourselves. So that's basically now how you go through those questions. But what you want to get to at the end, no matter how much time you spend on it, if you spend hours and hours and hours, great. And if you only have 20 minutes, you can still get to this part where you personalize it. It's not just about how Christ did that or that we have the power to do that type of healing. It's to take it and turn it around to make it be for me. Where you would say, like to write kind of a summary, Christ came to give me healing of every kind and to free me from my broken heart or anything else that would capture me. And he has come to open the eyes of my heart. You see how it changes it then? Up until then, you're asking all these questions basically about what does it mean and trying to understand it. But that, like last week we were talking about, there has to be a bridge that goes to application. Well, there's also a bridge that has to go to it becoming personal to me. Where I take this verse and I say, this verse is mine. This is what Christ did for me. But it's different. It's what, like what Shelley was saying, is that that's where God energizes it in your heart. And he touches you somehow to explain to you how that can work for you. And every person is different. It's going to be very, very personal. Which maybe only one of those phrases would jump out at you. But that's what then you can take and meditate on for a week. You can put it in your heart and, like the word meditate, remember? Hagah! You can say it out loud. Christ came to heal me. He came to heal me. He accomplished it for me already because he was anointed by God. I can use the power of the name of Jesus Christ to bring this to pass in my life. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. He came to bring it and make that available for me. Oh, I just love this stuff so much. Anyway, now we're going to look just briefly and have a time to discuss it together. Romans 8:28. And this one was in our week this past week. But I think it's a little bit of a difficult verse, so I wanted to spend a little time on it and discuss it together. And to just go through these questions. And I think we'll go ahead and just keep the recording on, even though it'll be discussion. Okay. So Romans 8:28. Somebody want to stand and read that? Claudia.
And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, those who are called according to His purpose.
We know that everything works together for good to those who are called. Yes. Now, a lot of people take this verse out of its context and say, well, God is working everything for good. And they just say that part, right? So our first principle, we go, number one, who is Paul talking? Who is the author? Sorry. Who is the author? God, yes. But who else?
Paul.
All right. And who is he talking to? Okay, let's do it where you raise your hand and instead of everybody just talking. Claudia.
So he's talking to the Romans, and I think specifically those who are at Rome.
Right.
So,
okay, what do you know about the Romans?
As far as, I mean, the historical context?
No, about, yeah, the book of Romans, what was happening when Paul wrote it to the Romans. No, this was before he was actually living there. He wrote to the Romans when he lived in Corinth. Anybody? Lena, yes? They were worshiping other gods, yes. Rome was the center of the whole entire empire. It's where the Caesar lived, right? It's where everything was centered in this big, huge empire. And at this time, it had also started to have some persecution against the church.
They didn't like the Christians.
They did not like the Christians, right? So that's what you do when you answer this question. And now who it's specifically written for is who? Like, to whom is it written? You, okay, good. It's written to the church of the body, right? It's not written to Israel. It's written to the church of the body. So that's important to note here right at the very beginning, and that this these verses we can take very specifically for us. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, number two. What is the larger passage talking about? All right, so we need to read Romans 8, 26 to 30. So would somebody like to read that? Barney?
Yeah, but I'd read it in a different translation.
Okay, great.
And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them.
No, that's good for right now.
That's the New Living Testament.
New Living Translation?
Translation, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. So what is the larger passage talking about?
Wait,
raise your hand, and then so some people can also talk. Mary.
It's talking about prayer helping us so that we can pray as we ought to, working with the Spirit.
That's good. How about somebody else? Because if you had worked on this past week, you might have some notes in your journal already.
What Mary was saying, context is that praying in the Spirit, because we know by our mind that the senses are not always perfect with prayer, but the Spirit helps us, the Spirit that God gave us, and so that, and we know that that Spirit works what it's supposed to do, the good things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, see, this part now, what this actually shows to me is that we didn't read enough of the context. Because we start going, well, we don't really know what this is talking about. What does it mean the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God? So we need to keep on going and read more of the context. Okay, so let's do that. Let's read from, where did we end? We ended at verse 30, right? Yeah. So let's read 31 to 37. Somebody want to read that? We ended in 28? Oh. Okay. Well, let's read after 28. And all the way to the end of the chapter. Okay? Al, you want to do it?
Sure.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. and when he called, then he also justified. And when he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We had to get to that part. That was great. No, that's great.
Oh, I thought it was just 36.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You can go ahead and finish reading the chapter. Yeah. 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 Well, that's great. Okay, so what did you see by reading the rest of the context? That first of all, it said in our verse in 28 that the Spirit makes intercession, right? Now, what did we read in the rest of the verses? That Christ died for us, yes. And he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And what is he doing there? So in the same section, it says the Spirit makes intercession, and then you have Christ making intercession. Okay? That should be having your mind go, ding, ding. You know, question, why does one thing say Christ and the other one say Spirit? And they're all within 12 verses of each other. The end.
Because overall, it's Christ in us, and it's Christ praying in us, crying out, Abba, Father, and we are joined with him so tight that when we speak in tongues, because we don't know what to pray for all of them. He's making intercession for us, with us. I don't know. I don't know how to express it.
No, okay. But that's good. See, that's where you're getting to it. And what I would say, or anybody else have something they wanted to comment? Yeah, anybody besides Mary? No, I'm just kidding.
I would say in this situation, I mean, that sometimes we don't know how to verbalize exactly the kind of the groanings and the things in our heart, but as we pray in the Spirit, those things get spoken in a language that is understood. Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And therefore it's being taken care of in that way.
Well, and this is really interesting because the part about if God is for us, who can be against us? So you have God, right, who is Spirit, but he has given us Holy Spirit. And he works through Christ. If Christ is at the right hand of God, then it's God by way of Christ, by way of the Spirit. That's how all intercession works for the saints. That you can say them all different ways. You can say, God is for you? Yes, he is. You said the Spirit is for you? Yes, he is. It is. And is it Christ for you? Yes. So it's a great example in this passage about how you can say the same thing in different ways. And that's why this one's that. That's why you need to get to the whole context and ask these questions. about what is the larger passage talking about, and then, okay, Claudia, what?
It's more of a question.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So, because, I think what you're saying that is because God was in Christ, and Christ is in us, we have that self-same spirit, is that what you're saying?
Yes. God is Holy Spirit, and He has given His gift of Holy Spirit to us, which is the fullness of the whole measure that Christ had. And so you can call it Christ, or you can say the Spirit. It's the same thing. It's the power that we have been given by way of the Spirit. So God always works this way. The Spirit is not a separate entity that, you know, goes to work on its own. It's a gift, right? So it's God in Christ in us. And how He works is God by way of Christ, by way of the Spirit. But every time. So you can say it either way. Yes, Jeffrey.
It seems to me that it would also be important to go back a little farther to find out how we got in this dilemma. One is no condemnation.
Right.
And in 15 it says we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So here we are in this situation wondering what's going on with ourselves, and then we're praying. And then, oh, even though things look so bad at times, all things work together for good when we're working with God, because God is taking care of it, and because we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but we know that God is in charge and all things are going to work together. There's a whole thing.
Right, you are absolutely correct.
Romans 7 is all flows together.
So, yeah, we can read the whole. Yeah, so we could have done that too, but mostly I wanted to read the end because the end is what where you get to the explanation of Romans 8:28, and we have to know what the Spirit is and how we got it, and a lot more things about the Spirit too. But let's go on here just a bit. We've kind of already answered question 3 about what type of writing is this? What type of writing is this one?
A letter.
And it's a letter to whom? Okay. It's to that specific church, right? And if you remember when we were talking about it, it's a church that started to be under persecution. Okay, so that's why this is in here. Okay, number 4 now, what words are important? And I said I thought this was the key question because you go back to the exact verse, and one way to get your mind back sort of focused on that verse is to pull up some different translations of Romans 8:28. Okay? And I wanted to, if you have one on your phone or something that you would like to read, you can look it up. But I wanted you to read the ESV, which is here, that I use all the time. And it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." So in this particular translation, it takes the phrase about all things work together for those who love Him, and puts the "for those who love Him" at the beginning. And it changes the whole thing. Because this actually is how the Greek reads, is we know that for those who love God. Now, do we love God?
Yes.
Okay, so we're in that. But that's the whole setting of it, is that for those who love God, that's who this is written to, that's us. Then it goes and says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Let's read another one. Somebody else have one that they had looked up?
Amplified.
Okay, let's read Amplified. Yeah, I don't have
it. It says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as his plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purposes.
That's really good, too. Yeah.
I have Majera's translation, too.
Would you like to read that one, too?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
But we know that those who love God, he called in everything for good, those whom he determined beforehand to be called, and then you have in parentheses once, the called ones.
Mm-hmm. He aids in everything for good things.
Mm-hmm. He aids in everything.
Yeah, for good. And, yes, you have another one?
Yeah, New Century Version.
Okay.
We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him. They are the people he called because that was his plan.
Ah, okay. All right, so you see how it kind of gets your juices going. I found a very literal translation of the Greek, and it really changes the focus of it. It says that the Spirit makes intercession for holy things according to God. You look in the King James, the will of is not in there. Right? Right? Okay, so according to God. According to God what? According to his perspective, his view, he's overall, right? And it kind of goes back to that song about the eye of the storm. You know, God is not in control in the sense that he controls our lives in every aspect of it, but he is in overall control. he's got the view, man. And he's going to energize by way of Christ, by way of the Spirit, everything good for the body of Christ, for those who are called. So it expands the idea of the holy ones beyond. We know that God works all things together for good, right? To those that love him. If you go back to the verse right before it, right, is where it has. Can't read this very well today. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, right? That word saints could be holy ones, can also be holy things, anything holy. It's God's job, through Christ, by way of the Spirit, to energize and to intercede for and to work on our behalf so that anything that's holy will come to pass. We are holy ones, and God wants to bless us. There's no doubt about that part. And we can speak in tongues for ourselves, we can speak in tongues for our families, for everything around us, and that's all part of what's in here. But the greater thing that's in here is not that God is just going to do every single thing that we ever want in our lives. It's his job to make sure that the body will be blessed as a whole, and that anything holy that we need in our lives, that's what he's going to energize. So now you can just go, yeah, this is so cool. Oh, gosh. Anyway, so I start preaching when I get to this stuff. There's little words in here that really make a difference, and that's part of this question number 4 is God works together. What is it?
We know that all things
Okay, yeah, that little word all. This is where people get all twiddled up, you know, about, does it mean all, every single thing that ever is, like, you know, if my baby is dying or some dramatic thing is happening in my life, I lost my job, was that God working something to me for good? No. So that little word all is really important because it's all with conditions. It's like we said, it's all things that are holy, all things that are good in light of what God's promises are. Not just every single thing that we'd ever want. Yeah.
All with distinction.
All with distinction, yes. Yeah, Bollinger has a great explanation of it. And by the way, if you want to get a really wonderful Bible software program, it's called Sword Searcher. It's about $59 for every single thing they have. And what they have is they have a fully searchable companion Bible and figures of speech book in the program. So as you're reading a verse and you go along and you just, it tells you and it just goes right to the page in the footnotes. It has all the appendices from Bollinger. It's really a fantastic resource, along with about 50 other different dictionaries and commentaries and all sorts of things. So I just recently have started using that one and have been really blessed with it. All right. So,
Jan.
Yes, ma'am.
For me, one of the things I really got kind of off into in the beginning was that we know, the words we know.
Yes.
And it's spoken in a tense that is not a varied opinion. It is absolutely certain, with certainty, that this is what's going to be.
Right.
And when I looked at that and I kept looking at the different adjectives and then some other readings, the rest of the verse came alive. Because it's not just a couple of words we know. Okay, we know. No, 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 no. This is a promised commitment from God Almighty to us to know with certainty. And I thought that was pretty cool. It's not a vague opinion.
That's awesome.
That this happens.
And when you actually put in the whole rest of, if God be for us, who can be against us, and nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing, right? Nothing. So we know that God is going to be working on our behalf for anything good to the body of Christ. And so, you know, you can go and keep on doing a little bit more with that verse 5. You can get really into it and start looking up all the verses for intercession and work together and good and all kinds of cool stuff. But what I want to get to now is the personalization, okay? To change the verse around to be something that is for you, that this means something for you. And so you say it with first person or me, okay? Who would like to give it a shot?
That's a good one.
Okay.
It says, and I know that all things work together for good to me, who loves God, who am called according to his purpose.
Okay. Yes, Deanne.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask her.
Hmm? Mary.
And I and those like me completely understand and are convinced that in everything concerning us, God works for our good. We are the people that he has called. It was his fault.
It was his plan. Yes, he searches our hearts. Yeah, Paula.
We worked with that fellowship at Mountain Genie.
Uh-huh.
We, the believers, as a result of intercession, together flow, be in harmony with each other, is energizing for good, benefit, profit, resolution to them, the believers, the ones who love God. To them, the saints who are called, who are rescued, drawn to, destined, according, invited, in the frame of it, his purpose, his will, his intention, his desires, his plan.
Wow.
Nice.
Okay, I think that's right. Really good. Okay, well, we could talk about this a lot more, but we'll end it there. And I trust that, well, it's my encouragement to you to continue on using this journal and making it your own, you know, doing it how you wish. But I think that it has stirred something in all of us to want to dig deeper into what does the word mean to me and how can I apply it in my life. And so if that's what has accomplished in the last few weeks, I would consider it a success. So I love you all very, very much. And if you ever want to ask me anything about stuff or how I study or more things to do, there are definitely a lot more methods, you know, that can be applied, and maybe at some other point we can go into those too. But I just don't want it to just be, oh, okay, now we're done with the series, and okay, let's move on to some other topic. I would really like to see this become just a passion in our hearts, and like I said, when the word is on our lips, you know, then you can't help but speak it. And so we'll be speaking the things that we're learning and what God is really teaching us, and we'll be able to, wherever we go and whoever we meet and however we're working or in our lives, we'll just have something right there on the tip of our tongues that has meant so much to us that we want to share it. Did you have something you wanted to share? Oh, okay. I want to end with one other song, and we'll pass that abundant sharing around. It's called The Power of His Love. It's not working?